It was a blessing to be here this morning, a blessing to be able to just sing that song together that we sang. And I was blessed by the fervor that I felt all through all the songs this morning. And I want to welcome each one again to this part of the service and glad for our visitors. Trust you'll join in and worship with us this morning. I'd like to look at Psalm 36 this morning, a few thoughts there. I was blessed yesterday. Yeah, I think today I was blessed with the fellowship this morning. I was also blessed with the fellowship yesterday with a lot of you there. There was a time of actual physical working together, sharing, and it was a real encouragement to me. I trust it was to each of you that could make it there to the frolic yesterday. It was a time of blessing, and I think it's like was mentioned, you know, the foundation here that we can stand on, the foundation that we can. It's that foundation that we have to be standing on. If we're not on a solid foundation, we're not going to have anything to build on. Things are going to we're going to have trouble down the road. I'd like to think a little bit about, as we look at this, that there's a song, 509. It's a very familiar song. I think, Jesus, lover of my soul. This was written, and it was written with a phrase out of this passage, Psalm 36, the second verse and the last stanza there. It says, cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Now, the Bible talks a lot about being under the shadow of his wings, or being covered with his feathers, and it's a beautiful picture of what Christ desired for his people, for his church. As we read this psalm, I'm going to read it looking mostly at kind of the center part of it, but it gives us clearly a picture of two different groups of people. And I think we talked about those two different groups of people in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Psalm 36, verse 1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. So here he's talking about the man that his trust is not in the Lord. His trust is in his own self. He doesn't meditate on his word day and night. He is focused on his own, on his self. And it says, he abhorreth not evil. Then we go to the verse 5. The mercy, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is a fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. A completely different picture of, starting in verse 5, the person that is reaching out to God. You know, we think of God's grace, his mercy, his love towards us. And it's just, as I thought about that, you know, that here we are this morning as a group of people. I didn't look to see 150 or however many there are. You know, God knows every one of us, every individual person. If we came to him in prayer this morning, we have the full confidence that he heard, he knew every struggle, he knew every cry, he knew every need of every individual person here. And that's only 150-some that are here. And you think of across the whole world, the many that are coming to him, the many that are worshiped, the ones in North Korea that have to do it in secret, and many other places like that. You know, he knew his grace, his wings spread out across the whole world. And it's just mind-boggling to think of that grace, that mercy, that love that everyone can partake of, regardless of what the difficulties, regardless of the things that we're going through. And notice four things there he says that he mentions, especially in verse 8. He says, they shall be abundantly satisfied. These are those that are under his wings, that are under the shadow of his wings. It doesn't just say they shall be satisfied, it says they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the house. And thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure. Joy, the drinking of the rivers of thy pleasure. You know, something that flows out and flows on and goes on to the ocean, something the rains that fill these and supply these rivers and the fountains that supply them, and they flow on. It said, for with thee is a fountain of life. You know, life in Christ is life. It's so different from the first verses that we read about there, the darkness. It's exactly opposite. He goes on to mention light, the fourth thing. So we have satisfaction, joy, life, and light. That is a promise that we can have this morning, that these things that we're going to be blessed with, the blessings that the child of God can have, the blessings that we can have as we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, as we abide under those wings. There's if you want to turn to 509 in the Christian hymnal, Jesus, the Lover of My Soul, the history of that song, Charles Wesley. I thought it was interesting that there's a couple incidences that may have brought him to writing this song. And the one was, he was on a missionary journey to Savannah, Georgia, on a ship. And he was on board with his brother John and a group of Moravian missionaries. And both Charles and John were impressed with these Moravians, their love for Christ, their love for the Word of God, their love for one another, and the beautiful hymns they sang. It says, a lasting impression was made as the ship was in the midst of a turbulent storm. It says, from all outward signs, they thought they were absolutely going to perish. There was no way out of this. And Charles says his heart was seized with terror as he looked on the storm about them. And the midst saw the pending destruction and the danger. But then they noticed this group of Moravian brothers showed no sign of fear. In fact, they were there singing about the one that loved them, about the one that cared about them in the midst of the storms of life, and the one that cared about them so much that he gave his life for them. They seemed absolutely fearless, no sign of fear. And it was something that these brothers never forgot in the years that followed. He thought of this experience often. He says each time it would engrave itself deeper upon his heart. The other incident was given that Charles was holding meetings in Ireland, and there was a group of mobsters came in, and they were trying to attack him. They were trying to get him, and he fled and fled to somebody's house, and the farmer's wife there gave him refuge and told him to go to the milk house. And soon they heard voices, and these men came to the house demanding him, and somehow she managed to tell him to go out the back window of the milk house and go down to this little creek and hide in the hedges down there. And so he went and hid in those hedges, and hiding there, he could hear the yells and the screams of the men that were trying to find him, that were looking for him. And it says a day later is when this hymn was written. And I'd just like to sing this hymn this morning, and we think about And let's just think about this place of refuge that we can have. 509, somebody, James, will you give me a pitch on that? No, why don't we all stand?
Our heads for prayer.